Hey, happy Tuesday. I hope everyone had an exciting Thanksgiving weekend. Over the summer, U Multicultural had an inspiring project, Ethnofest, a digital ethnocultural festival celebrating Winnipeg and Canada's diverse voices and communities. With over 50 episodes from this year's event, there's so much to see. Let's take this hour to listen to some of those stories. Let's get into it.
So my name is Juliana Roberts, and my maiden name is Gudbjartsen, which is important in this position, and I'm the executive director of the New Iceland Heritage Museum. So the Icelanders arrived here in October 21st of 1875, and they landed actually at Willow Island, and this area became New Iceland. And it runs from Boundary Creek all the way along the west shore of Lake Winnipeg up to Hekla Island and west to Number 8 Highway. So New Iceland was actually its own province, or, you know, we had our own constitution and mayor and councillors, or whatever you want to call them, and their own laws before they were absorbed into the province of Manitoba in 1876. So Iceland is a huge influence within the community. You've been here before, so you see that there's some of the place names, some of the street names. If you're familiar with Norse mythology, the word Gimli means home of the gods. Bifrost, which is the next municipality, is the bridge to the home of the gods. So there's a huge Icelandic influence here. So in 1875, the Icelanders came, and it was mainly an Icelandic community. In 1897, So to 1903 became multicultural. So there was the Polish population, the Ukrainians became multicultural in the early 1900s. And of course, since then, it's just become more multicultural. We moved into this facility in the year 2000, and so we've been here for 23 years. We are a Manitoba Signature Museum, so we're one of seven museums in the province, because we tell an important part of the history of the creation of Manitoba. I never felt so Icelandic until I moved here. He said, because in Iceland it's just every day, but here we work hard to promote and celebrate those Icelandic events.
But yeah, I mean, like, writing has had a huge impact on my own pursuit of identity. It's had a big role on the path that I'm walking. And but I started out, at the beginning with no real knowledge. And it's so important for me now to incorporate the things that I've learned into my work, not only to ingrain it within myself, but also to share with other people. And hopefully that does some good in the community. I think that my writing is an act of not only like exploration for other people, but for myself as well. It's like an act of reclamation in a way. I've learned the most about myself over the last 14 years that I've been writing. All the books that I write, I do a lot of research for. And you're right, like I grew up without any real strong connection to, you know, my indigeneity. I didn't really know what it meant. I didn't really know that I was for the first few years of my life until I was probably in middle years. My dad had this saying on his notebook, one of the last notebooks he kept. And I found out later it was on several of his notebooks, because my brothers had it too. And it just essentially says, you know, you have to do as much as you can with whatever opportunity you have. You know, even though you're only one person, you have to do, even if you can only do one thing, the one thing that you can do. And so, like, for me with my work, I want to affect as much change as possible. Not only within the Indigenous community, which is really important for me. I want to have my books read by Indigenous children, not only so that they learn more about themselves and the history of this country, and but also to encourage them to write stories themselves as well. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why I started this imprint with Penguin Random House Canada is because I want to create opportunities directly for, you know, young emerging writers to have their work published and their stories shared.
My name is Tom Naughton. And that's N-A-U-G-H-T-E-N, but in the west of Ireland, it's pronounced Nocton. So in Canada, I'm Naughton, and in Ireland, I'm in Nocton. So I lived up in the Yukon for a lot of, for 10 or more years. And when I was up there, I got a present of this drum, of a bowron, so that I could play Irish music, traditional Irish music. And it's called a bowron, it's B-O-D-H-R-A-N, and the D-H is a W sound in Gaelic, so it's a bowron. And back in the 1950s, there was a huge revival in Ireland for Irish traditional music. And a group was formed called Coltus, and they ran competitions for people playing instruments, like who could play the best fiddle tune at different age groups and so on, or dancing. And there was a huge revival, and the bowron was brought back, and it it really hadn't been used in many, many years. So it was brought back into traditional music, and a lot of the bands, like the Bothy Band and that, which were almost rock and roll bands, brought the Bawron back to be used. In a reel, for example, the odd thing about this drum, opposed to other drums, that you get drums in every culture, is that it's a double-headed hammer it's played with. So you've got the bottom end, like this, and then you've got the top end coming in, like this. So that's where the triplets come in on the music. A couple of times a year, we'll teach it. I'm always trying to get young kids and drag them off to try it.
You know, I'm really excited to have this film, you know, play in a theater. You know, this movie was written and directed in a way that, you know, it's very subtle, it's very quiet. It has like this sort of unspoken energy to it because it was meant to be in a theatrical setting. And to have it play at the festival, I'm just so excited to pack that room tonight. You know, when I first set off to make this film, I was, you know, exploring the North End and exploring Selkirk Avenue. And, you know, as with most sort of North American cities, there's a kind of donut effect that happens and a lot of blemishes, you know, in a city. And you sometimes, you know, when you live in a place, you kind of try and avoid those streets and overlook it. And I wanted to photograph, you know, the neighborhood as much as I could, and I did, and I went into all of the shops along the way, and the stories that were sort of told to me as I was experiencing it firsthand is what became, you know, the script of Diaspora in terms of the multicultural, you know, interactions that were there. Everyone who, you know, operated a business came from somewhere else. You know, our city has become more and more diverse in that way, where it used to be a case of you tried to abandon your identity, abandon your, you know, your cultural history, where you came from, and assimilate as quickly as you could. And in this film, I wanted, being Ukrainian-Canadian myself, I didn't have that same experience of growing up Ukrainian, right? As say my sister did, or as other people that grew up in the North End, I grew up in the South. And I felt there was a strong part of my own cultural identity that was missing. And so connecting to the North End helped me connect with my own Ukrainian identity. And for the first time, I made a main character Ukrainian. Everyone is different and looking for the same thing, right? And so you find this isolation and abandonment in, you're longing to belong to something. And when that's not in front of you, you're like desperate to find things that are meaningful to you. And that was sort of the, you know, how this whole project came about.
Hi, I'm Jocelyn Gilbert, and I'm coming from Dominican Republic, the land of merengue. Today, I am going to cook for you two of the most traditional recipes from Dominican Republic, and the main dish is the plantain. Our cuisine is very diverse. We usually eat rice, beans every single day, but we also have soups and many delicious desserts. We have the mango, that is a mashed plantain. We eat it with fried eggs, with cheese, with salami. Salami is very common in my country. And we also have the tostones, that it's the same plantain, but instead of boiled, it's fried. It's very easy to make a mango. You just boil the plantain, of course. You peel them first and boil them with a little bit of salt, and then you mash it. You can put a little bit of butter or olive oil. And once you boil them and you mash it, you put a little bit of water so it's tender and soft. And then you serve it. You can eat it with whatever you want, not only with the eggs or salami, but if you like ham or any other meat or chicken, it's up to you. You can serve it and eat it with other kinds of food. For the fried plantain, you peel them and you cut it into circles and you put them in hot oil. Once they are cooked, it takes about 2 to 3 minutes, and you turn them until they get a little bit brown. And then when you take them out of the oil, then you mash it. You don't need a special utensil to mash it. You can use a cup or any other utensils that you have. And then you mash it and put them back into the hot oil for 1 or 2 minutes. The oil should be in medium temperature. Today I'm wearing a traditional dress from my country. These kind of dresses are very common in Latin America. The difference is that our dress is made of our flag colors, blue, white, and red.
Kila maduva nangu na tangola kaji vana nguigwa mama nangu apa ni tangola kaji vana vome kunguigwa hello nangu ni katangola vana do kususidone nangu apa nalatanga kaji mene nangu nalatanga siyo tangola vino tu nguigwe.
Quando sair por aí, se a vida é boa pra curtir, não vá se apaixonar à toa. Nem todo mundo leva tudo na boa assim. sair por aí. Se a vida é boa pra curtir, não vá se apaixonar à toa. Nem todo mundo leva tudo na boa assim. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre, é tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre, é tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre, é tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre, é tarde demais pra voltar atrás no amor. Cuidado quando sair por aí. Se a vida é boa pra curtir, não vá se apaixonar à toa. Nem todo mundo leva tudo na boa assim. Tome cuidado quando sair por aí. Se a vida é boa pra curtir, não vá se apaixonar à toa. Todo mundo leva tudo na boa assim. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre, e é tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre, e é tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre, e é tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre, e é tarde demais pra voltar atrás no amor.
Solo dime que yo me voy. My name is John Gerard. I'm the member of the legislature for River Heights, and I've got a long history of working with people and helping people in the Black community here in Manitoba.
I'm Naomi Gerard, and I also help with the programming. But as chair of the board, I get a free event at one per year at SNAC, and I donate my free event to Emancipation Day, which happened the last 3 years.
I talked to Naomi and I said, you know, we should put an Emancipation Day event on at the St. Norbert Arts Center. And Naomi said, yeah, we should do that. And so we organized a number of speakers and it turned out really well. And so we've continued it. Now, we've basically handed most of the organization over the last 2 years to Uchi Nwanko, to Willard Reeves, and to Judy Williams. And they've done a phenomenal job of continuing, and we had an amazing day today.
Okay, so my name is June Marion James. I was born in Trinidad. I came to Winnipeg for university studies, and unknown to me, I made history by being the first Black accepted at University Medical College at the University of Manitoba. I was very involved in the medical community. I was president of the College of Physicians and Surgeons. I got the Manitoba Medical Association Award in 2000. We had a segment where we taught the members different things. And so they learned how to budget, how to do finance reports, how to assess, help them with their children, because we're involved with the schools, and also recognizing the LGBTQ1A community for gender equality. I supported the Centennial Concert Hall project. While we were at the university, often we got passes to go to the ballet, to the symphony, to museums. I had no idea who was doing it for me. So when I had an opportunity, I did the same for others.
My name is Milton Chambers, originally from Jamaica, via England, and now in Canada for over 50 years. Well, the food, the Jamaican food, I can't solve it. And yam and bananas and so on, we try to preserve that and introduce it to our children as well. Apart from that, being away from Jamaica for so long, since 1954, I left Jamaica. You know, some of that culture is kind of waved off.
My name is Uche Nwankwo. I'm one of the organizers of this Emancipation Day event at the St. Norbert Arts Center here in St. Norbert. Yeah, I feel so fulfilled and glad that today has come and not gone, but remain. We want the youth to look at things from different perspective, positively, to inspire them to overcome intergenerational trauma. We want to inspire hope. We want to tell a story of how some people were able to overcome those barriers, those limitations, those challenges, those stereotypes, and were able to build a future, even in an uncommon environment. So to this event, and the reason why we wanted the youth to hear the story and continually reflect on them is so that they can change their perspective. Like I said earlier on, what are we teaching our children? What kind of principle or virtue do we want to build in them? That's why I'm happy that today's event will live on, and we'll be able to pass this story to other, to the younger generation, so that they can build more resilience.
Христос зарождається. Мене звати Богдан, а це моя сестра.
Мене звати Марія. Ми нещодавно прибули до Канади з України.
І намагаємося підтримувати наші традиції, зберегти їх і передати в наступні покоління те, що нам передали наші бабусі, дідусі, прабабусі, прадідусі. І ми будемо надіятися, що наступні покоління так само будуть підтримувати наші традиції.
Коляда для мене асоціюється з чимось таким радісним, таким веселим. Це і народження Ісуса Христа, і ми це всі святкуємо, ми колядуємо. Це таке для мене дуже родинне і сімейне свято. Адже завжди до бабусі на вечері, до одної бабусі, до другої бабусі. Ходити колядувати вертепами — це і дуже затишне, і дуже таке атмосферне свято для нас, українців.
В Україні людям не потрібно запрошення, щоб прийти колядувати в сусідню хату, до незнайомця зайти і просто поколядувати, побажати йому, защедрувати і побажати йому гарного Нового року, нагадати йому про народження Ісуса Христа і просто гарно поспівати.
Коляда, яка мені найбільше сподобалась, яку ми співали, це був «Щедрик», написаний Миколою Леонтовичем, який був вбитий радянською владою. І саме це нам нагадує про те, що ми мусимо пам'ятати, що ворог найбільше не любить це наші традиції, він хоче знищити нас, нашу ідентифікацію. І саме через Коляду, через Пасху, через такі свята ми мусимо надалі ідентифікувати себе як українців.
Століттями нашу культуру знищували, вбивали, спалювали і робили все можливе, аби про неї ніхто і ніколи більше не почув. Але українці – сильні люди, вільні люди, і вони завжди зберігали свої традиції, свою культуру. Отож, якщо ми загубимо ці речі, то ми забудемо, хто ми такі.
My name is Adrian Alfonso. We're here today at Upper Fort Garry to celebrate gathering and dancing together. Indigenous peoples have always come together since time immemorial to celebrate in rhythm. Contemporary Indigenous peoples like myself and my friends have been listening to electronic dance music since the 70s, 80s, and 90s, 2000s, and now. The location is Upper Fort Garry in downtown Winnipeg. The space is significant in history, where we shared space in the birth of Canada and all the way to today.
Hi there, I'm Justin Baer. I live in Winnipeg, Manitoba. My family's from Peguis First Nation, and we're also Métis from St. Anne, Manitoba, and Southern Manitoba. I've been DJing for about 10 years now, and one of the things that's always drawn me to music is that it is really part of my family. And because my great-grandpa, Pete Leger, on my Métis side, he was a professional fiddle player, a really famous fiddle player actually in the province. And that's a really big part of Métis culture is the fiddle. And that was a part of my mamay's life, my grandmother's life. And the whole family really played a lot of music together. So a lot of us in the family have musical skills and talents because of inheriting that kind of culture within the Métis culture. It really holds the communities together, and it holds our spirituality together. It's you think about the drum as the heartbeat of Mother Earth. So by listening to the drum, we can connect to the rhythm of our mother, the Mother Earth. And it helps us kind of align ourselves, right? Because we want to be in rhythm. We want to be rhythm with nature, and we want to be in rhythm with the seasons. And it really, that's what helps us kind of stay balanced. So we all of us in the collective, we all go to ceremony. We all go to sweats, and so that's a part of ourselves. But also the other part of ourselves is electronic music. And, you know, Cap, Adrian, and I have been listening to electronic music for a long, long time, and it's a part of who we are. So that's our kind of way of connecting with the heartbeat. And some of our stuff is like a little bit faster, but, you know, it's what keeps us going. And so we wanted to grow the scene and share indigenous electronic music with the rest of Manitoba, because there's other scenes in different cities, in Toronto, in Edmonton, in Calgary, where there's, you know, a growing indigenous electronic music groups and shows, and they're drawing out really big crowds.
I was inspired by electronic dance music in the early 90s because I'd stay with my friends and watch dance shows on Canadian TV, like Much Music. We had local radio stations playing electronic music, and I've just always loved the rhythm and the beat. The hope is to bring us all together and inspire the next generation to say that we could do it too, have that representation.
Hola, mi nombre es Fernanda Vallejo. Tengo un non-profit organization que se llama Latinas Manitoba Incorporated. Esta organización nace como un grupo en Facebook durante la época de la pandemia. Para crear este grupo y la organización, yo me centré mucho en todas las mujeres que conocí desde que llegué a Canadá 12 años atrás. Estas mujeres habían llegado en época de refugio de Centroamérica, de Chile, y también tenía mi familia ecuatoriana. Yo recuerdo que durante el invierno, la mayoría de mujeres me decían que se deprimían, porque hay algo que se llama depresión de invierno. Y durante la pandemia dije, si esto pasa durante el invierno, pues ¿qué vamos a hacer durante la pandemia? Entonces ahí es cuando me decidí a crear el grupo Latinas Manitoba. Llevamos 2 años haciendo varios proyectos, workshops, como la construcción del resume, que en nuestros países latinoamericanos es muy diferente. Y para mí es muy importante preservar la comunidad latina a través de la organización Latinas Manitoba para que pasemos la voz, la cultura, nuestras raíces, para que nuestros niños y jóvenes no pierdan el idioma, para que nuestros adolescentes tampoco lo pierdan, tampoco pierdan las raíces latinoamericanas y de sus países.
Latinas Manitoba is my passion and my contribution with Latin American community.
La vie est belle, tu ne peux pas m'en convaincre autrement. La vie est belle, tu le verrais bien si tu te laissais le temps. La vie est belle, tu ne peux pas la néantir. La vie est belle, j'y crois à mourir. C'est une foire de petits papillons jaunes qui me l'a dit ce matin, longeant la digue à bon train. Ralentis, c'est dans l'instant qu'on sent la vie, dans ce moment qu'on sent le bon vent. La vie est belle, tu ne peux pas m'en convaincre autrement. La vie est belle, tu le verrais bien si tu te laissais les dents. La vie est belle, tu ne peux pas la néantir. La vie est belle, mais je l'oublie. Maintes, maintes fois, je redrécis. Jamais le respire ne me trahit. Encore une fois, je m'épanouis. La vie est belle, tu ne peux pas m'en convaincre autrement. La vie est belle, tu le verrais bien si tu te laissais les temps. La vie est belle, tu ne peux pas la néantir. La vie est belle, j'y crois à moi. Petit papillon jaune,
звати Галина Жовнер. Я організувала вертеп, перший вертеп дитячий в Вінніпезі. Ми приїхали з сім'єю в жовтні місяці минулого року до Канади. І коли почалися холода, сніг, мене старший син запитав: «Мам, а ми будемо колядувати цього року, так як в Україні, в Канаді?» І подумавши над цим питанням, бо так як наші традиції, в моїй сім'ї традиції завжди підтримувалися і підтримуються. Я ходила колядувати з маличку, відколи себе пам'ятаю, ми ходили колядувати і з вертепом, і так просто з дітьми. І мої діти так само, відколи почали розмовляти, відтоді ходили колядувати. Вертеп – це звістка про народження Ісуса Христа. Звістка про те, що народився нарешті Ісус Христос, наш Спаситель. Вертеп взагалі – це вистава, де розповідають, як народився Ісус Христос, де саме Він народився, що це дійство відбулося в Стаєнці, що пастухи прийшли привітати Його, принесли Йому дари, пастухи і царі. Коли ми святкували Різдво в моїй сім'ї, то завжди спочатку у нас була традиція заносити дідуха до хати. Стелили стіну під скатертину, ставили часник, діти також маленькі квокали, мукали, бекали під столом, щоб велося господарство добре. Коли запалювала свічка обов'язково, чекали, не сідали вечеряти доти, поки на небі не з'явиться перша зірка. І вже після вечері до нас приходили колядники. Так як моя сім'я завжди старалася підтримувати українські традиції і християнські, і ми святкуємо завжди християнські релігійні свята, я стараюся передати це все своїм дітям, щоб навіть проживаючи в Канаді, щоб вони знали, що таке Різдво, що таке Великдень. Ми стараємося розповідати їм за кожне свято, яке відзначаємо, які традиції є в наших сім'ях, що ми робимо на ті чи інші свята. І думаю, що мої діти так само, коли виростуть, і будуть передавати ті традиції своїм дітям.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Dylan Priest. I am an interpretation coordinator here at Lower Fort Garry National Historic Site. Lower Fort Garry was initially a Hudson's Bay Company fur trade post. It was built as an administrative center for the Red River region in 1830. So the big house you see beside me was built in 1830 for Governor George Simpson, who was the overseas governor of the Hudson's Bay Company. When you do bring your friends and family and enemies to come and visit Lower Fort Garry, you will start off at our visitor reception center, and you'll take a pleasant stroll across Monkman's Creek, and there you will be able to see and speak with people dressed like myself, living a day in the life of the year 1851. You'll be able to speak with the farm manager family, be able to go speak with people at an indigenous camp that we call the Gebeshowin, which is the Anishinaabe word for camp. Be able to talk to a blacksmith in a blacksmith shop. You'll be able to get a glimpse of what a very important people treatment people would receive, esteemed guests would receive at the Ross Cottage. And then you will make your way into the fort walls, where you can visit the warehouse, the doctor's office, the bake house where we bake bake hardtack. You can go see how men and laborers would live in the men's house, and then you can go and see all the furs and trade goods and the fur loft and the sale shop. As well, of course, our pièce de résistance, we have our big house where you get to see where the big wigs of the Hudson's Bay Company at Lower Fort Garry would be living and working. People interact with history in different ways. And so what I hope is that they have a clear memory. And that's why we really try and approach every sense, every human sense, when it comes to interpretation. So it could be the sounds of firing a musket that stays with you. It could be seeing someone spin some wool and learning that you can make dye out of onion skins. It could be the sound, the smell of coal. It could be the taste of bannock. So what we really hope is that people create a personal connection with history after visiting here.
Dobre, mam na imię Marta Kowalec-Prokopitz. Ja jestem jeden z osób tutaj na pawilonie polskiego. My tu w polskim pawilonie bardzo uwielbiamy pokazać naszą kulturę. Właśnie w naszym pawilonie my pomagamy ludziom po prostu czuć tę polskość naszego, to albo jedzenie, w ogóle być razem, a szczególnie przez tańce. Tańce właśnie są taki język dla nas. Ten język jest miłość do naszej kultury.
Witam, nazywam się Bernard Pacak. Ja jestem najstarszy tańcerz dla SPK Iskry. Ja pomogę z choreografią tutaj w zespole i też pomogę trzymać polską kulturę w Winnipegu. Ja już tańczę tutaj ponad 30 lat w zespole, od tańca młodego w szkole i też tańczę w Iskrach przez ostatnie 22 lata. Moje rodzice przyjechali w 1981 roku do Kanady. Ja się tutaj urodziłem. Mój pierwszy język to był polski i nauczyłem się angielskiego później. To nasze rodzice to trzymali polską kulturę, bo nauczyli nam język polski pierw, bo to było najważniejsze dla nas, żebyśmy wiedzieli polski charakter, kultura, historyka i tak dalej.
Moi rodzice przyjechali z Polski do Kanady. Jak oni tu właśnie przyjechali i mieli osobiście mnie i mojego brata, dzieci, to oni bardzo chcieli, żebyśmy wiedzieli, co to znaczy być Polakiem, Polką. Jak ja byłam mała, to my zawsze mieliśmy Wigilię, to te 12 potraw mieliśmy na święta, albo jak było jakieś urodziny, to zawsze śpiewaliśmy 100 lat. I w domu zawsze, zawsze po polsku mówiliśmy. Również moi rodzice zapisali mnie na tańce, właśnie teraz do dziś ja robię. I też w polskiej szkoły. Tu w Winnipegu mam dwie polskie szkoły. Ja poszłam do Świętego Ducha i to było bardzo fajne. Na początku nie cieszyłam się, jak byłam mała i chodziłam co sobotę do szkoły, ale jestem bardzo wdzięczna, bo przez to ja teraz mogę mówić po polsku, mogę do moich dzieci właśnie po polsku mówić i też pomagam je w tańcu. Mogę śpiewać, rozumiem nasze tańce i też mam po prostu jestem bliżej do mojej kultury, co jest bardzo ważne. To ja osobiście planuję, mam córkę i syna, ja planuję ich też zapisać na polskie tańce i do polskiej szkoły, żeby oni również za 20 lat byli dumni, kim oni są, że oni są Polacy w Winnipegu, w Kanadzie.
If you want to check out all of EthnoFest 2023 and our other content from U Multicultural, head to u-channel.ca. I'm Ryan Funk. This was U Talk. And have yourself a good one.